Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we open your word this morning. We're asking the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be our guide, and to give us the knowledge that you would have us to have this day, and to help us, Father, to grow in faith, in strength, in knowledge and wisdom, so that we can, Father, reach out to those that are walking in darkness, that are looking for something, knowing that there is something they need besides themselves. Help us to help them to understand that they need the Lord Jesus Christ and His forgiveness to get their life started fresh, new, and on their way back to being reconciled back unto our Heavenly Father. Now, Father, be with us. We're at the remainder of this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be here this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to be taking a look at Paul's summary of the ministry. And several other topics that it's not a real long chapter. In fact, we're only 18 verses. There's quite a bit in these verses. And as we study, we know we find a lot of things that you and I are in need of. And we are finding that regardless of how long we have been a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are still things we are in need of as we walk through this life to be ready when we step out of this life and stand before our Lord and Savior. All right. Beginning here with verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. We're warned several times coming through the New Testament about things that we accept, the things that we teach being in vain, and what that word vain means. We know that the word actually means of no effect or no purpose. Now, it also, that we not receive the grace of God to no purpose. There is no hint here the salvation of the Corinthian believers is in jeopardy. But the grace of which he speaks has reference to chapter 5, verse 21, that they have received his grace clearly indicates that the people to whom he is speaking are genuinely born again. But a judicial pardon does not guarantee practical Christian living. Paul has in mind the application of the righteousness of God in him on a practical level. And when you really look at that verse, chapter 5 and verse 21, that's actually the last, very last verse of chapter 5. And it reads, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he's speaking here about the Lord Jesus Christ and about us putting him on and he living in us. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted and in the day of salvation. Pardon me. Have I secured thee? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He says, have I heard thee in a time accepted? The sense of the Hebrew of this Old Testament passage is somewhat lost here. Literally, the expression reads, in a favorable time, I answer you in the day of salvation. Have I secured thee for you and I? Consistent with the Hebrew parallel, this is intended to echo the previous expression in Isaiah. The two expressions constitute to the servant of the Lord to sustain him in the time of his ministry. However, the passage not only has messianic implications, it is also addressed to the Messiah's people who represent him. This is the sense here. In other words, That's what Paul is trying to get across to us there in verse 2. Now, verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You see, we're not to be offensive. Yet we are to be bold. Stand strong, but do it all in truth and with the love of God, being compassionate. But always speaking truth of the ministry and through the ministry that God gives each one of us. And we each have a ministry that will follow him, believe in him, put our trust in him, and accept his will and his ways about the things that we do and how to do them. All right, now, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and in distresses. Any of those things that comes to us and comes against us, we are to continue in standing and approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And we need to be doing that, as he put it here, in patience. And these other things that would come against us and all, we're not going through them or just having them against us by ourselves. We know that he is always there with us, because his promise to you and I is that he will never leave nor forsake us. Now, pardon me. Now, that in stripes, in imprisonments, in turmoils, in labors, in watching, in fasting. You see, all of these things, and we all will face these things in our lifetime, and may already have, and we may face them several times. Now, 6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, and by the Holy Ghost, by love unfringed. We can hold and go through all these things because of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. As it says here, the Holy Ghost. Now, when you become that born-again child of the living God, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. So you have him living in you, along with the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. In other words, you have that deity of Almighty God living within you. That's why we can do the things that God calls upon us to do. Think about this now. You know, the Holy Spirit was sent to you and I to give us the gifts of the Spirit for our ministry, whatever this ministry is of each. It don't mean we're all pastors, no. But it does mean exactly what it says, that we all have a ministry given to us by God. And whatever that ministry is, we need to be finding out and knowing what it is and starting to work in it and with it. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit will guide us. And he will see that we have everything we need in order to complete that work throughout our lifetime. Now, 7. He says, by the word of truth, by the power of God. See, those two things are two things that the Spirit will give to you and I to work with. He goes on there to tell us, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. There's a whole lot involved. 8. By honor and dishonor. By evil report and good report. As deceivers and yet true. As unknown and yet well known. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. You know, a careless reading, verses 4 through 10, might lead one to think that the apostle is spontaneously tabulating disjointed thoughts as they come to his mind. But a closer look, however, will reveal a very careful and logical arrangement. There are 27 categories divided into 3 groups of 9 each. In verses 4 and 5, his thoughts are on his trials. In verses 6 and 7, on divine provision. And in verses 8 and 10 is on his resolute victory over circumstances. Now, you know, we're always to be preaching the word of truth. Okay, now, we go to 11. Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Now he's telling them here, Paul addresses his readers by name in only two other places. In each case, it reflects deep emotion. Our mouth is open unto you, open to speak frankly on the significance in this passage. Our heart is enlarged. And you know, for an enlarged heart, but this is also a common expression. It is gave to us through the Old Testament and even into the New. And to enlarge the heart is to increase its capacity for sympathy and understanding. Gaining that knowledge that is needed, and then the sympathy and the patience to be able to reach out and preach and teach that with the love of Almighty God, and do so from the heart. All right, now, ye are not straightened in us, but you are straightened in your own bowels. In other words, within your own selves. 13. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. He's looking at them as them being his children. That's how much Paul loves this Corinthian church and these Corinthian people. Now, we know he even wept for them at one time. It tells us in his epistles he did. Now, Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? He's telling us there in that verse not to associate and become active with those that are walking in darkness, that are not of the light. He's not telling us not to never talk to them or nothing that way, because we have to do that in order to get the gospel to them. But he's letting us know that we don't get out to get around with them, to do the things they are doing and going to places they go. Now, 15. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what parts has he that believeth with an infidel? You see, he goes on to explain these things so that we can better understand. Now, I know that my speech to you right now is not real good. And I'm sorry for that. But this is that phlegm and all that has worked up in my throat over this past several weeks, that I've been kind of under the weather. But we're not going to let Satan stop us. God's healing us, and Satan is not going to stop me. Now, 16. This Belial he's talking about here, actually, the meaning of that word means worthlessness or wickedness. And the expression may also be used in the sense of wicked one. Here it is used as a reference to Satan. In the parallel use, the wicked one. Now, in what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The temple of God in Scripture, this expression has a variety of meanings. One, it may have reference to heaven as God's dwelling place. And two, it may refer to the church as God's temple. It may have reference to the individual believer as a temple of God. And in places it does. Because you see, this body is also a temple of Almighty God. And the full pronouns, namely them, their, and they, and you, in the Old Testament quotation suggests that Paul had the second idea in mind in this passage, that is, correctively, they constitute the temple of God, according to the promise of God in Exodus 29, verse 45, and Leviticus 26, verse 11 through 12. And you know, it also applies to their situation as well. All right, now, here in 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 18. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. But you see, there in those last two verses of that chapter, chapter 6 there, reciting these promises from the Old Testament, Paul has a twofold purpose. The first is edification. he reflects on what he has just written, the ministry of reconciliation, is motivated by the fear of the Lord, energized by the love of Christ, and exemplified by the experience of Paul, and qualified by the promise of God. The second purpose is exhortation. Here Paul anticipates what he is about to write. Paul always roots practical Christianity in sound Bible doctrine. The exhortation is to holiness before God and reconciliation with the apostles. And we know that Paul is always reaching out and reaching out with that love that he had. Paul carried a deep love, not just for the Corinthian people and the Corinthian church, but each and every one of these churches. You know, Paul wrote 13 books in this New Testament. Now, of all of the books in the New Testament, 13 of them is written by Paul. That's the kind of love he had in his heart for mankind and for Almighty God. And mainly because of his love for God. Because Paul was one, and although he was here doing what he was supposed to be doing, he was still looking for and hoping for the day that he would get to go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew exactly how he stood with the Lord Jesus. What about you? Do you know? Do you really know how you stand with him? Most don't. They have hope, but they really don't stand in assurance. These are things for us to think about through the day, as we go through the day. And I pray that you have gained some things you needed this morning. And I pray that you will be back with me this evening, that you will not stay away, that you'll come back and be with me. Now, let us pray. We've come to the end of chapter 6. We're going to be closing the word. So let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close your word, I thank you for your word, Father. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for these times, through the day that we come together to share your word with each other and with those that will listen to the internet, Father, that they may gain from evil and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in his love. I pray for Israel, Father, for peace for Israel. And also, Father, I pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah and as their Savior. Father, this land in which we live, filled with so much evil, brought on us a lot of it, brought on us by those that are sitting in my offices. I pray, Father, for those to be removed from office and replaced with those that love you, that love the Lord Jesus, loves your church and your people, and loves this country, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, and to put Jesus back into every place he was taken out of, and mainly back into our schools, Father, and those that are tearing down our schools and after our children. Father, I pray that some way they can be removed from our schools, and as I said, replaced with the Lord Jesus Christ in teaching our young people. Now, Father, as we separate for the day, keep us all in health. Keep us safe. And bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God bless. All right, all. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. I pray you have a great day, and that today be filled with the joy of the Lord. Bye-bye now.